thank you so much for joining me tonight. We're going to be talking about Calvary. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about going back to Calvary, remembering the cost that Jesus paid. It was a great cost that he paid on that cross. Hallelujah. That he paid. He paid the price for our sins. And as we go back, I want to take a look back. As I received the word from the Lord just about a month ago, and I've been reflecting on that word where Jesus told me, go back to the cross, go back to Calvary. And I believe that's not only for me, that's for the body of Christ as a whole. That's for those who in some way, shape, or form have not necessarily lost the joy of their salvation, but the joy of their salvation has decreased. They have not remembered what it is to live for Jesus. They have not remembered what it is to really reflect and look back on the cost of the cross, the costly price that Jesus paid. So I want us to reflect on that and talk about Calvary tonight. Hallelujah. So leave me your comments, your questions. Please engage in the comment section so I can get back to you. If you have any questions, I'd love to get back to you to answer your questions. And I'd love to see your comments and where you're watching from tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you to those who watch, who listen to my podcast, to my YouTube streams, my Facebook streams, Instagram. Thank you so much for all of those who follow me out there, especially those who are tuning into The River with Alex Morton podcast. It's now on Apple Podcasts as well, so you're able to hear my messages, the new messages that are being released, and also testimonies. There's preaching, teaching, and testimonies on each episode. So let's go into this. Let's get into this. Hallelujah. Going back to Calvary. So there was a word that came forth that I received from the Lord. And as I was awaking from a dream, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, just one drop of the Lamb's blood, just one drop of the Lamb's blood was enough to cleanse the entire world. Hallelujah. It was enough to cleanse each person in the entire world of their sin. Jesus is infinite. He's infinite. The value of his sacrifice is infinite as well, because he is God. He is Lord and God. He is our Lord and Savior. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, you can be set free. You can be set free. You can be healed, saved, and delivered. Hallelujah. And I pray that each one that doesn't know Jesus is led to this broadcast tonight, that you would be safe, and that you would receive Jesus by the end of this live feed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. So let's talk about Calvary and the power of the cross tonight. The cross was a place of darkness, yet the place where the light of the world was displayed for all to behold, a place of humiliation and unthinkable suffering, a glorious yet gory place called Golgotha. That's where the cross was. That's where Jesus hung on the cross. He was humiliated, a place of humiliation. It was a place of humiliation and unthinkable suffering. The place where Jesus spilled his blood to redeem mankind. That's where the gateway was opened. That's where the cleansing river, hallelujah, of living water and of his precious blood spilled out. So we can't have the Spirit of God moving and active in our lives without putting our faith in Jesus and what he did at the cross first. And I want you to understand that. So let's pray. Let's pray, hallelujah, and get into this even deeper in just a moment. So Jesus, as we take a look back and what you did at the cross, we pray, Lord, we pray that you would make it all fresh, all new to us once again, as if we had never read the Gospels, as if we had never read the Word of God. Make it fresh and new, like we heard the story for the first time. Make it fresh and new, like we just got saved, Lord, for those who have been saved for many years and maybe even decades. Father, make it fresh and new again. Refresh and restore those who are hearing this message tonight who need that refreshing, who need that restoration. And Lord, those who don't know you, draw them unto yourself that they would be saved, that they would be healed, redeemed, and delivered in Jesus' mighty name tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy of honor and glory and blessing and power. Lord, teach us what it is to take up our cross and to follow you daily. In a culture that says do whatever makes you happy, let's learn how to please the Lord. Let's learn just how powerful it is to set ourselves apart and be holy unto the Lord, that he may use us for his glory. We have so much potential. Each person has so much potential, and they have giftings and talents that God has given them, and he's activating in you. But he wants you to live up to your greatest potential, and you can't do that until you set yourself apart from the world, that you would be holy unto the Lord. So let's open up to John chapter 13, verses 2 through 5. John chapter 13, verses 2 through 5. And supper being ended, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So this just blows my mind to think about this. It blows my mind to think about the fact that the King of Glory, the one who had received all things from the Father, all things were given into the Son's hands. That means he has all power, all authority, all dominion over all things, over all of creation. Yet he is stooping down and humbling himself and going to that lowly place to wash his disciples' feet. So the scene is set. The betrayer here is already seated among them, and Jesus has made Judas aware that he knows what's about to take place. Jesus knew everything and how it would play out. But why would he stoop so low to make himself a servant? Why would he do such a thing? The scripture says that he knew the Father had given all things into his hands. He knew that he was Lord of all. He knew that he was Lord of all. So why would he become a servant? Why wouldn't he order his disciples to wash his feet? Why wouldn't he demand to be served on a silver platter? He was teaching them about the low place. He was giving them an example they could live by. He was setting the example, but he was expressing the great love and the great mercy that he has for all mankind. If you know the low place personally, if you know what it is to go into that low place, that place of humility, when you could call attention to yourself, okay, you have a choice to call attention to yourself and rise up in pride or go to the low place. And when you go to that low place, you meet God's sweet presence in a way you wouldn't otherwise. And I'm teaching you something if you don't know about that low place, but you should know about that low place because you're a Christian. If you're a follower of Christ, go to the low place. Learn what it is to walk in humility. Learn what it is to serve. Don't just say you want a platform. Don't just say you want to preach and you want to teach and you want to do these things. First, before any of that, set up some chairs, set up some tables, help out with the kids' ministry. Do something to serve that shows you're not just there. You're not just there to be put on the platform. You're not just there to be seen. There's a lot of things that need to be done where you're not going to be seen first. Not because you want to make a good impression on the pastor, but that should come from the heart. That's what we're missing in a lot of our churches today, humility, but also the love of Christ that comes only from the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was always looking for the need. He was continually moved with compassion as he faced persecution, accusation, and ultimately death. Although he knew what would take place in the end, that knowledge never influenced how he treated others. Hallelujah. It never influenced him. It didn't stop him from sharing the truth with those who had grown weary of the traditions of men. It didn't stop him from curing lepers, casting out demons, and forgiving the sins of broken people who knew very well they didn't deserve the grace they had received from him. None of the 12 deserved to be at the table with him, but he saw their potential. He saw what they would do later. He saw the greatness that God had already placed inside of them that they hadn't yet seen in themselves. So except for one, he knew they'd all go boldly preaching the gospel after receiving the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, would you wash the feet of the man that was about to turn you in to be executed? I don't know that I would, honestly. I don't know that I would. But Jesus washed their feet anyway because he wanted Judas to know how great his love was. He's able. He's able to reach you where no one else can. He's able to come alongside you and support you and strengthen you like no one else can. No man has ever lived like Jesus lived. No man has ever loved like Jesus loved. I surrender to the one who knows me completely. Jesus knows it all. He knows your past, present, and future. He knows it all. He knows your every thought. He searches the minds and the hearts of men. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. Again, that's Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they were crucified. And the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. In paradise. So as Jesus hung on that cross, beaten beyond recognition, a heap of battered and shredded flesh, he showed mercy toward the criminal that still had reverence for God. The other criminal hung up beside him said, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and save us." Luke recorded this comment as being blasphemy toward Jesus. It was blasphemous because he knew that Jesus had committed no crime. He had committed no sin. He knew that Jesus hadn't done anything to deserve crucifixion, anything to deserve execution. But with his last few breaths, he didn't cry out for mercy. He cried out words full of bitterness and unbelief. So Calvary is the place where redemption was made possible. It's the place where the broken come to be made whole. It's the place where a fountain of cleansing has been opened for the sinner. It's the place where you can be washed and cleansed this very night. Hallelujah. If you choose to run to Jesus, if you choose to come to him, if you choose to submit to him, he's opened the way through the cross. That's why we're going back to Calvary. We're going back to Calvary tonight to be cleansed. If you've fallen away and you need to come back to the Lord, the gateway is open. Hallelujah. The river is flowing, the river of his blood. By the power of the blood and by the power of his spirit, he wants to cleanse you tonight. Calvary is the place where redemption was made possible. It's the place where the broken come to be made whole. It's the place where a fountain of cleansing has been opened for the sinner. Jesus pursues the sinner until his very last breath, hoping that each person would humble themselves and receive this free gift of salvation made available through the cross. This is the heart of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If you're the kind of Christian that likes to point the finger, don't forget that Jesus suffered for your sins, along with all of the other sins he went to the cross for. He didn't just suffer for the murderer or the rapist. He didn't just suffer for the adulterer or the prostitute. He suffered for the person who gossips, for the person who has lied to their spouse. He suffered for the person who defrauds their employees, the person who steals office supplies from their job. All of us have fallen short in one way or another. We all fall short of the glory of God. Going back to Calvary has to do with remembering the costly price that Jesus paid to reconcile us to the Father, to redeem us, to heal us, to restore us. It also points toward the great grace and mercy that God has for all people. For those who preach about obeying God's commandments but neglect to teach the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you've preached religion, not relationship. The new covenant in Christ's blood comes with a new heart and a new spirit, according to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Verse 27 then goes on to speak about empowerment through the Holy Spirit. It says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Without God's spirit, we can't even think that we're going to have the ability to live out God's commands. It's as simple as that. If you're attempting to live for God on your own strength, you'll never live up to God's standard. You'll never hit the mark. At the foot of the cross, we find out what Christ's sacrifice was all about. It was about restoration. Religion restricts, but relationship restores. Remember that phrase. Religion in and of itself can help you to understand what God requires, but it'll never help you to hit that mark. It'll never help you to meet the standard that God has set. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the will of God, to live out the divine destiny he has for us to live out. So Hebrews 8:7 says, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. But God promised that he would make a new covenant with the people of Israel." He said that he would make this new covenant with Israel because they didn't continue in the first covenant he made with them. Let's understand that. For those who are stuck on the law of Moses and the fact that we need to live out the Old Testament commandments and laws, there's many Christians who are getting tied up in living out the law of Moses. But the new covenant is here. Jesus has established a new covenant in his blood. Yes, there are certain things. There are certain moral codes that we should still be living out that are from the Old Testament. But no other sacrifice is necessary. The ultimate sacrifice has already been made, hallelujah, at Calvary, on the cross. There's no other sacrifice that's required. Christ's blood is not a license to sin. We should not be sinning, but we should be living according to the ways of the Spirit rather than living according to the ways of the flesh. And the flesh fails, and the law fails as well, unless we're living by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ. So God promised that he would make a new covenant with the people of Israel. The first covenant was made for the purpose of pointing us to the second. and last covenant, which would be an everlasting covenant, an eternal covenant. Both covenants were made to provide us with a standard that would assist the people of God in communing with and operating in the Holy Spirit. So the goal has always been to live and move in unison with God, in unison with the presence and power and Spirit of God, to dwell in His presence and to never depart from it. That's always been the goal. Moses said, don't take me anywhere. Don't allow me to move if you're not going to go with me. I don't want to go anywhere unless you go with me. That's always been the goal. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, would depart from the people of God, the people of Israel in the Old Testament as they offended Him. But now we have the Holy Spirit that has come to dwell in us, to dwell in us, to empower us to live out the ways of God, the commandments of God. When the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you forever, there's a reason to celebrate. Hallelujah. There's a reason to celebrate. And the way that happens is by placing our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior right now. And I want to tell you, there's a difference between the indwelling and the infilling. So the Bible talks about a seal, the seal of your salvation, where the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. So at the moment of salvation, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll be indwelt, which means the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, to lead you, to guide you, to teach you the things of God. But the infilling is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which happened. This is the encounter that the disciples had, the apostles had, as they encountered the Holy Spirit filling them in such a powerful way. It came in, it rushed in like a wind. In the upper room in Acts chapter 2. And that's the infilling. So I want you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's being filled to a degree where you're being filled and overflowing with the power of God, overflowing with the Spirit of God. So I'm going to pray with those who want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I'm also going to pray that you're filled with the Holy Spirit to overflow, to where you're not only filled with the Spirit, but you're moving in boldness, you're moving in power, you're seeing manifestations, healings, deliverance, salvations, to where you're seeing God manifest in your life, where you're speaking in new tongues, where you're prophesying, hallelujah, where these manifestations are coming. There's many manifestations that come with the Holy Spirit as He moves on us, as He fills us, hallelujah, but many of them will come with an utterance. What do I mean by that? It means the tongue will play a part in it. You're going to speak something. You're going to speak a language that you don't understand, and you're going to feel the power of the Holy Spirit with it. You're going to prophesy. You're going to speak about something that will come to pass, or you're going to speak about something that someone would not otherwise know, you would not otherwise know, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to sense the Spirit of God with it as you place your faith in Jesus. And you believe by faith. You believe you can receive it by faith, and it will come. It will flow. The Holy Spirit will fill you and flow. Hallelujah. Let's pray. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your personal Lord and Savior right now, say this prayer with me. We're going to repent, believe, and follow Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to the earth to die on that cross. We thank You that He shed His blood for us. Lord, I believe, now repeat after me, I believe that Jesus is Your Son. I believe that He died on the cross. I believe that He rose from the grave and that He is Lord forevermore. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and purify me. Give me the strength and all that I need to follow You. I choose to follow You for all of my days. I place my faith in You in Jesus' name. So if you placed your faith in Jesus, please send me a direct message or leave a comment saying, I received Jesus tonight, and I would love to just reach out to you to equip you with some materials that will help you in your walk. I have a book called He Sees the One, and there's some basic principles that will help you to get free and stay free if you're battling oppression, bondage, or if you're learning what it is to be a Christian. It will help in all those aspects of your life and walk. Now, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you, not only indwell you, but infill you, that He would fill you. He would baptize you, just pour out to overflow the power of the Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, hallelujah, through faith in Your Son, Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize Your people. Baptize. Fill, Lord. Fill to overflow. Baptize Your people, Lord God, like a mighty rushing wind. Living water flow in Jesus' name. Fall, Holy Spirit, fall. Fill, Lord God, fill. Manifest Your power. May they speak in new tongues. May they prophesy. Kito rambabashendo rabashi. Ito busambayeto rabashi. Kiata rambayeto robosha basandi rabos. Kibu sambabayendo rabasheto rambasa. Kito rambasa tarayendo robosabashendo. Sabakia to rambasa tarabayendo rabasheto rambasa tarayendobu. Abba, yeah, I believe He's filling you even now. He's filling you even now. You're seeing. You're seeing things that you never have seen. You're seeing visions. Hallelujah. You're receiving from Him. You're receiving from Him. Sito rambaba. You're seeing. in the spirit, because the veil is being lifted in the spirit. In Jesus' name, I believe that for you right now. You're going to have dreams and visions and encounters from Jesus, unique encounters. He's going to begin to reveal himself. I believe that for you right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Let the Lord continue to minister to you for the next half hour or so. Just let him speak to you. Just let the Spirit of God, the anointing that is on this live right now, just let it marinate. Let it sink in. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining me. Keep your eyes to the skies and your hand to the plow. God bless you.